Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today on this special episode, we're hearing from JL Marti, CEO of the Ferris Love Family Project. He shares with us conversations that explore the emotional imprints of key life moments, particularly focusing on the role of parents in guiding children through challenges in social media as well as pornography addiction. JL discusses the addiction, strategies for prevention, and effective communication techniques for parents to help their children navigate these issues.
Hello. In my conversations over the years with teenagers and young adults, it is striking how people, not the same persons, but people in general, remember the details of two key moments in their lives because they left an emotional mark that endures. The first memory of happy remembrance is when, where, and how their dad or mom told them that babies are made by the sexual union of mom and dad. The second is a memory of regret and sorrow when they look at pornography for the first time. I mention these two memories because even years after, they are imprinted in people's hearts with joy and gratitude in the first case, or with sadness, regret, and anger in the second. And parents play a key role in children experiencing the first and avoiding the second. In a previous video, we looked at a few ideas for discussion on how to prevent children from falling into addiction to social media and pornography. We saw that the two elements of prevention are, first, mom and dad having conversations with each child about how babies are made. And number two, limiting and supervised exposure to screens, cell phones, tablets, computers, game consoles, TVs, etc. Now we're going to propose a few ideas for your discussion with trusted friends and your spouses about what to do when you become aware that a child is addicted to social media or pornography. Keep in mind, parenting, especially in this area, is not an exact science, and things that work for one family may not work for another one. You need to ponder and decide what is best for your children. We're offering some considerations to inform your choices. We can consider someone addicted to pornography when he views it on a regular basis despite a deep desire to stop. When addicted and not dealt with, not only they feel they can't stop, but the urge intensifies with time. The acting out ranges from monthly to weekly or to daily or even multiple times a day. What do we mean by social media addiction? We refer to any situation when a person spends too much time of the day or night on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and similar apps and websites, or who is constantly itching to check their screen for the latest comment or message and are helpless to stop themselves doing it. Knowing when social media use crosses the line into an addiction is a judgment call. Misusing social media is harmful in itself because it disconnects the person from reality around them, but also because many more complicated situations, such as eating disorders, self-harm, low self-esteem, depression, suicidality, anxiety, or rapid onset gender dysphoria, have been traced to too much time on social media. For more on this, see the book, The Anxious Generation. There are many bad actors and influencers trying to lure your children into the latest fad and unhappy behavior, and you need to be aware. Here is a great website created by former workers from Silicon Valley companies to raise awareness about the true costs of social media use among youth and adults. Say you have done your best in raising your child and one day you have a deep suspicion or discover outright that your child is addicted. Let's consider what to do if your family faces this challenge. Prayer for your children will play a large part in their journey in this area as well, because you will obtain help from heaven and you will be thinking about them in the right frame of mind. The first thing is not to overreact or panic. Fortunately, good experts have developed strategies to help you and your child deal with an overcome addiction. So have a sense that things are complicated and not fine, and also of hope, because now that you know he or she has an ally in their plight. Children with good upbringing generally know in their heart of hearts that what they are doing is wrong and destructive. They want to stop but find themselves unable to. As a consequence, they feel discouraged. But more importantly, at least in the case of pornography, they experience such a deep shame that they often are unable to reach out to ask for help. If you suspect your child might be struggling with this, a good way to initiate the conversation might be something like this. Son, I want to talk with you about something difficult but important. If you are struggling with addiction to pornography, I want to help you. What's more, if you have this struggle, it's more my fault than yours, as it means I have not been there to guide and protect you as I ought, and have probably unwittingly exposed you to temptation beyond your strength. But I want to help you, and I'm ready to work with you on this. I don't want you to face it alone. We can be a team in this. What this kind of approach does is lessen the shame so that they're able to talk about it. Besides, it's almost always the truth. Children, even adolescents, are victims of the industry, of government failure to protect them, and often of parents' naivete in exposing them to temptations beyond the average person's strength. Again, talk to them in a calm and hopeful way, letting them know you are aware of their struggle. This attitude will be their best chance to open their minds and want to start recovery. With children younger than 11 who are already addicted, parents could be aware of their environments all the time. Therefore, a workable strategy is to keep them away from unsupervised screens. This step is to have all access to screens curtailed for a prudent period, usually months, not weeks or days, at home or away, until they have enough willpower and maturity to want what is good for them in the long run. With children 12 and above who are already addicted, you want to enlist their collaboration and persuade them they can change their behavior if they want to. You can help facilitate their desire to make things better by your signs of unconditional love and affection. Showing your understanding and stating obvious truths, such as that nobody is perfect, or that we all have weaknesses and times when we are down, and also that there are ways to improve and get out of the situation of addiction. Offer them hope and encouragement, a good description of the challenge of pornography, and advice to parents whose children are victims of this addiction can be found in the book Closing Pandora's Box. It is important to avoid what will be unhelpful. These things won't do much good at all. Accusations, public corrections, questioning why they don't receive Holy Communion. In fact, especially with kids in the 12 and above range, if you ask them why they did not receive communion, or if they committed a mortal sin, it can result in them making blasphemous communions in order to avoid the shame of their parents' inquisition. On this note, it's probably good to tell them just one time that if ever they need confession, you will take them to see a priest, no questions asked. And to tell them if ever they are not prepared to receive communion for any reason, you will not ask, and they can cross their arms, no questions asked. Dads could give their children good example here and occasionally not receive, just so that their teenage boys know by example that it's okay. Without the willingness of the person to change, there is little chance of any recovery strategy being successful. Again, you want to show them affection and affirmation for who they are and offer them strategies, as we shall explain, for getting rid of their addiction when they choose to fight against it. Screen addiction to social media or pornography is not as potent as addiction to substances. However, since screens are available and accepted everywhere, it can be harder to break a screen addiction if the person does not want to, at least at some level, to quit. Be very patient and teach your child to be patient. There could be relapses, but things will improve over time if you continue these strategies. There are three main components to help your child give up a screen addiction. The first one is establishing boundaries and protective measures. Secondly, regular accountability. And finally, constructive behavior that restores and ensures lasting peace. In order to establish boundaries, help your child identify what patterns of behavior or gadgets have led him or her in the past to look at pornography or engage in excessive use of social media. Things like Friday evening, when I have not much to do and I am alone in my room, or when I am in the house by myself, or while I am on the video game console after playing for hours. Next, he or she draws a plan to avoid those patterns of behavior and gadgets. For example, I shall not be in my room with my laptop ever. I will not be home by myself. I will give up playing video games and will leave the console with dad, etc. These boundaries may sound extreme and hard, but they are usually necessary for the person to break the addiction and get back on their feet. They need not be implemented forever, but they should be valid for months after the last relapse. Remember, when one is in that situation, one needs to plan for when the worst moment of weakness comes and to remove the occasion to do destructive behavior from the realm of possibilities. You and your child may conclude that they need to remove browsers and phones and restrict access to downloading apps. Don't be afraid to take these steps. It's normal. Help your child to see that there is no price too great to pay for freedom, and that a year or two of detox may be necessary before they can gradually return to using the internet with more protections, etc. The second element is accountability. The child needs to have periodic, better weekly, conversations with a trusted friend or parent about his or her list of boundaries and how they are being observed. If there is any slippage, the child should let the accountability partner know right away if possible, even better before any action takes place and is just a brewing thought, or at the weekly conversation. You see why it's so important that the child wants to get rid of the addiction and is ready to make the necessary adjustments. If your child has a trusted mentor that he talks to regularly, he or she could be an ideal accountability partner. Finally, practicing modes of constructive behavior that restore and ensure lasting peace and joy. We all go through ups and downs in life, and young people even more so. Periodically, we need to refuel our happiness tank with affection and recreation in activities that are wholesome. We need to take care of ourselves by getting exercise, practicing a hobby, music, arts, sports, spending time with friends, watching a movie with family, calling someone we like, etc. This helps to keep our emotional life in balance and counters the low spots and times when we don't feel so good. In the moment of temptation, the best strategy is to connect with another person, engage in an activity with a family member, call a friend, or reach out to an accountability partner. Physical activity can be especially helpful for boys tempted to use pornography. A bike ride or shooting hoops with a sibling can curb the inclination to seek out pornography. Let's cultivate and look forward to these times of wholesome recreation in our families rather than getting on our phones and checking those apps. Parents need to lead by example here. A large part of constructive behavior is also working and studying well, with good time management that will allow us to have the necessary recreation. Boredom is a common trigger, so young people need to stay engaged and active. But exhaustion can also be a trigger, so this must be balanced with healthy forms of rest. Some youngsters have never experienced the satisfaction one feels after a good hour of focused work or study. There is a great system developed by smart people called Optimal Work, as shown in this video, and also explained in the following website. Following a plan such as Optimal Work will prevent or correct the problem of addiction in most situations. You can propose a similar plan for your child. The book Study is Hard Work by Armstrong has a good old-fashioned description of what it takes for one to work hard and how it applies to scheduling, memorization, test-taking, and other academic aspects that make students thrive in all areas of life. A final important reminder that empathy and understanding are paramount because you should see the person ahead of anything else. And also, after all, we all need help in using screens with more order, don't we? I know I do. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.